Okay, we were interrupted by the timeframe of the tape, and we have turned it over. And let me pick up again by telling you that while we had a good time in Florida with the Orange Bowl on several times, but during a certain time of the snow, it worried us and we had to come right on back. But at any rate, that interface, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Worked well, and the things of the training, the leadership, all those resources and knowledge we put together for several years, would always pay off.
Okay, another question I have is, how has farming helped shape the culture of the South?
Okay, Emmy, how
has farming helped shape the culture?
Farming shaped the culture of the South. All right, now you have to go back a long time to begin with the culture of the South. You have to go back in the days of the South, and that's all they knew was farming. And it shaped, what we're talking about is shaping the culture, okay? For many years, from in the early 10s, 20s, and 30s, it was King Cotton in the South, and it grew into other things, but it was shaped the people's lives, shaped the agriculture, and one of the big things was people had farms, people owned the land, had the farms, big farms in Mississippi, Alabama, and mainly the cotton farms. They had what we call tenant farm people. Some farms were white people, some were black people who were lived and raised on the farms, and what the people, how the landowners and the people treated the folks and how all that revolved and came about influenced the lives of all that. For many years, the tenant people and their families and their children, and I very well remember our people treating them very nicely, making sure that they never did hurt for anything far as food or any medical situation, because we would see about all our people, and we treat them fair and square, and it shaped the culture of those lives. I remember and know some of our people, the backgrounds of the people who I was raised alongside of them, the tenant people who later on went to college as I did, and they learned, and we shaped the culture of all this. In the lives of the young people growing up, we developed in the culture, not only in the people, but also the farms, the lands, the homes, how to have a neat, not a fancy place, but have a neat place, but be proud of what you had. That was all shaped in to help the average run of people. And then it shaped us up, the ones who had the land, to work on higher education, in which we did. All my family graduated from college, and it shaped the culture of that, and that's helped us, plus all my people and all their children have, all of them aimed toward going to college, and most of them have already finished. And it's a continuation of things to happen, you see. And in the early days, where I go back to talk about the children that I was raised, my age group, well, they were the tenant farmers, we were the landowners, but we played together and went to school together and helped them develop their education and caused them to go to college if they elected to go. We made sure that they had a chance to go. And also the houses were not fancy, as I said, but they were proud people, neat, and that culture was developed. I'd have to say that I'm not sure, when we talked about the history, that culture was very evident and through the 30s, the 40s, after World War II, and after the Korean thing, I began to see a change in the culture of the thing. And no longer, and as I told you, everything was in time frames, in 12 to 15 year blocks, and they interlap a little bit. But all that began to change after the war. And then there was Korea, and after that, and the new resources, new development, new things happening, we no longer dealt with tenant farmers. That was out the picture. Everybody was kind of on their own. And they went on and bought farms if they could. If they didn't, they went to public work. So that developed their culture. But people living now, the older generation, the group of 65 years older and 70 long in there, if you talk to any of those people now, you'll see that culture in them. And you'll see those people and can very well pick it up in a conversation that they were raised during the Depression and after a few years after the Depression, and where when a pair of slippers was only had one pair, they would wear it, not wear them very often. But I'm making a point on this. They wear them to church on and have on Sunday. But they were real proud of a small thing as a pair of shoes. But now then, you know, the things have changed. The folks have got four or five pairs of shoes that and they don't take care of none of them to start with. And they throw them away and all this kind of business. But the culture has certainly changed. We don't have as many, as I told you, many agriculture people, farmers now, and the numbers are way down. But what few are left still have that culture about them. The other people were probably got away from the tenant farm, the that kind of situation, got into some other things, ways of lives, other jobs, and that culture has probably helped that group of people too. right now on the culture of the agriculture right now is kind of narrowed down to a few people, but where those people, it's still alive, it's still doing well. You go up to the Tennessee Valley and you go out and see the cotton is king up there in around Huntsville. You go see the big fields of red clay and the cotton in the fall of the year. And if you stop by some of the stores and some of the people houses, they're so proud and they're making two bales of cotton to the acre where we used to make a half a bale to the acre. They have tremendous investments of equipment, modern equipment and all those such things. So if you stop to talk with them, they still have this same kind of culture thing that I was raised with. Now then, if you talk to the older guys still in and say, let's talk about 30 or 40 years ago, and talk about your people, and they'll tell you immediately that those people are working at Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville. Their children went on to school. Some of them are engineers, and we're fortunate to have that to happen. So you have to understand and see a little bit, I think you do, the culture, do you? Mm-hmm. All right, so that's a little bit about that.
Okay, well, I've enjoyed interviewing you. And is there any other comments that you want to make or anything else to say?
Okay. Emmy, you've done a good job with the interview, and I'd like to say that I've enjoyed talking to you a little bit about it. In fact, I believe this is the first time we've ever gone in detail, and I've told you about some of the things that I've done throughout my career, in which you've been with me most of the time. But this is some of the things that I never talked to you about. I think probably all these things is, and you, do you remember the dairy? I think it sort of rubbed off on you because I think that you are working real hard in school, and we let you choose kind of what you want to do and what you study, and hopefully you'll continue working real hard at it, and we appreciate it, my mama. We appreciate you working real hard and going to college, and don't ever, what you need to do is go ahead and select your major, field of work, and get concentrated on that, and try to help and work your way through the education and go off the culture. I want you to do is to go on and not only finish your BS, but also work in your master's, which Mama has and I have, and we want y'all to at least get that far, and maybe the next step we'll get a little further into that. And in the end, I think what I'd like to see you do in the end is go on and finish those things and help learn about it, but help the people. You need to learn how to help the people and dedicate yourself to helping the cause of people. In the end, that's really what matters. All right, so I end it with telling you good luck to you, and don't forget to get on with your schooling. Make all your time important. Do well with it, and in the end, develop and help people.
Okay.